prayers and just the words and the songs and all of that. You know, circumstances in life, a lot of times just don't go our way. And circumstances in life, like Reggie mentioned, they can get pretty brutal. And it's tough for us in many different areas, and we find that we have to deal with a lot of things. They don't just go away because we're Christian, right? They don't just magically turn around all the time just because we pray. But that doesn't stop us from still trusting in God, still praying beyond our feelings. You understand what I'm saying? And this is really important. And I think that one of the big things that we have to remember, especially when we're in very tough situations, is that God is our provider. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
God provides.
Yes.
God fulfills promises. God supplies to us the things that we need. Right? God comes along and gives us, because of His grace and His mercy, gives us things. Sometimes it's physical things, and sometimes it's in the realm of the spirit. And but in whatever case it is, we know that God provides. And it's tough when we're going through something because we're wondering why He isn't providing the answer that we want to see happen, right? That's the testing of our faith there. But I think that all of us here realize that God is a giver. God loves us. God supplies us with the things that we need. I know years ago, I think I've mentioned this story before. After we had come back from Alaska, Kathy and I had moved back to this area, and I found a job right off the bat, made really good money, and we thought, wow, you know, the blessing of God, we did the right thing, we came back, and He's blessing us, and that was wonderful. And then in 1991, there was this big recession, and I lost my job, and I tried to do drafting work to try any place I could find. Tim Sappington, I did some stuff for him, and other places, whatever I could find. And it was very, very tough. And we had Libby; she was 1 and 2 years old, and things were darn tight. And I can remember this one year where it was really tough finding extra jobs to keep things going, that a number of things happened that really showed God to Kathy and I how He was going to provide for us. We had very little money. We could hardly pay all of our bills, and sometimes we couldn't. During that little frame of time, there were envelopes. Two different times, there were envelopes at our door. I'd open the door to go outside, and here's this envelope, and here's money inside. You know, money inside of it. I had a let's see. What else happened there? I had come back, and I was at the Assembly of God Church, and I was looking to be the associate pastor there, and they wanted me to take these courses, but I didn't have the money to take the courses, and people that were going there who didn't know my circumstance sent me a check in the mail for the exact amount of money it was going to take me to take those courses and then, you know, get into the ministry there at at the church. That was something. Kathy, help me out. We were so poor at one point that there was, at the church, the women's ministry had these little Christmas time things where you could buy ornaments and, you know, little doodads. And there was a $3 little kitty Christmas bell. $3. And Libby, who never asked for anything as a little toddler, never asked for anything, really wanted to have this bell. We could not afford the $3 bell. And we couldn't get it. Well, I think that, you know, Kathy's said, you know, that was the first time in our struggle that year that she went home and cried herself to sleep because we couldn't even do that. God provided, though, because nobody bought that bell that year. And the next year, when things had started to turn around for us, it was still there and we bought the bell. So that was really kind of cool.
And it was always on our Christmas tree after that to remind us of how...
Yes, that was always on there. The other thing that happened was a family in the church who must have noticed our condition. They would, every so often, maybe almost every week, they brought groceries to our house. And that was how we got by. But the big thing that Kathy and I got out of that whole thing was, God is our provider.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, right? And that's not just a name of God to Kathy and I. It's not just some theological concept. It was something that impacted us, and we understood this is who He really is. And I just want to say to all of you, you know, when you're in times, whatever it might be, not necessarily financial, but whatever's going on in your life, to remember, He is our provider. He's there for us. He's going to supply us. And maybe it's not, I mean, I didn't go out and spend money on a ticket and win the lottery and have all kinds of money. No, I got by. Kathy and I got by. It wasn't like he has to overwhelm us. He gives us what we need. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be talking about some other spiritual kind of things too. But so all of this really brought me to the story of Abraham and Isaac. Because this is where the name Jehovah Jireh is found in the scriptures. It's in Genesis chapter 22. And it's verse 14 where he actually uses the word Jehovah Jireh. But you guys all know the story. He's taking Isaac. Abraham's taking Isaac, his son, up to Mount Moriah, and unbeknownst to Isaac at the beginning, Abraham's going to sacrifice him because God's told him that he has to sacrifice his son. Now, that sounds pretty harsh by God. But God, we won't get into all the theology of it. But anyway, he lays his son down on the altar to sacrifice him. And what happens? Somebody. The angel stops him because why?
Because he believed.
The reason was that he believed in God. Here's God telling him how he's going to have this son, and his son's going to produce more children, and so Abraham's lineage is going to spread like the sands of the sea. And And he must have, Abraham believed to the point that he thought, well, if God's promised me all of this, and I believe God, and he wants me to kill my son, he's able to resurrect me.
Amen.
Right? He had to have thought that, to believe God, right? So God has the power to do whatever he wants. And then, so then what happens? God provides a ram who was caught in a little thicket. And he took the ram and sacrificed the lamb in the ram in the place of Isaac, right? Everybody knows that story.
Yes, yes.
Now that, as a sideline, this is just something too. That was on Mount Moriah. And Mount Moriah became this place that Abraham called Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Okay? About 1,800 years later, in the same spot, God provided something for all of mankind, not just Abraham. And that was what?
Jesus.
That was where Jesus was crucified. On Mount Moriah, at probably the highest point on Mount Moriah, which at that time was called Calvary. Calvary is a Latin word that means place of the skull, because the rock formation looked like a skull from a distance, and so they called it the place of the skull. So that was the same spot, and so here in both instances you have God providing for one man for the whole world. Amen. Isn't that? I just think that's a beautiful story for us to remember that God is interested in you as an individual, and he's interested in us as mankind. And he provides. He's a provider. He supplies our needs. Right?
Okay. So that's just to open this up, and I wanted us to look at.
You know me, I like definitions because it really helps you to understand something deeper. And we really need to do that. So here's the word. The word provide, some synonyms for the word provide, is to thoroughly furnish, to equip fully, to supply, to prepare. All right. All of those are synonyms for the word provide. The definition would be to supply the necessary items for a particular purpose. Okay? To provide something, someone is supplying something, the necessary things that you need for a particular purpose. And it also has a second definition. And this, really, and if you think about this, if you're going to make some connections here this morning, what Reggie said a little bit earlier about the deceptions in our mind and all of that, provide also means to prepare someone mentally for a particular situation or task.
Wow.
Think about that. God does provision for us, for the natural things that are happening in life, and he also does providing to our minds and to our thought processes, right? To our decision making. He can give us the information that we need to make proper kinds of choices, right? All right. So with all of that as a backdrop. What does he supply to us? So, I'm going to take us to one scripture that's very general. It says it all in one mouthful. And then we're going to look at just fill in some of the specifics here.
Okay, so if you would turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. And there it is, right up there on the screen. Okay? And my God will supply, there's that word, same word, provide. Okay? And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say he's going to supply all our wants. But he does say he will supply all our needs. Now, we might have a disagreement with God on what is a need and what is a want. But God knows that. And I think that all of us here, I really feel that all of us are more mature in the way that we approach walking with God. And we understand that God's the one that's sovereign, not us. And you know, he doesn't. He's not. He's not a bellhop in the sky that runs around and just does whatever we want, when we want, and how we want. We all know this, don't we? So when we're talking about God being a provider, the focus is on God, his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness, everything good about God. And the focus is not on us and what we want and him providing exactly how we want to have things done and in our timing, right? Isn't that true? I think we understand that. So I just thought, you know, besides the physical things that he provides, what are some of the spiritual needs that he provides? I thought this was really, really great. We'll take this one. You don't need to put the scriptures up. I'm just going to read just a little piece of the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. If you're taking notes, you can write it and then go back and look at the whole context of it. He provides a way of escape from temptations. Now, that doesn't have to do with preparing us mentally for things, right? He provides, and that's the word that's used in the scripture, provides. He provides a way of escape from temptations. He provides us with his Spirit. Oh, we get a counselor. We get a comforter. Yeah? We get the Spirit living within us, and there are the gifts of the Spirit, right? Yes. Hallelujah. Talk, you know, what a provider.
Yes.
What an encouragement that we can have if we remind ourselves of this, right? Okay. He has prepared for us a kingdom. That's Matthew 25:34. He has something grand out in front of us where we're going to be participating in this messianic kingdom. Is that exciting?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He's going to provide. In John 14:2, it says he's going to provide for us providing a place for us in heaven. In other words, he has a home for us in heaven.
Right.
Yes.
No mortgage.
No mortgage. In fact, it says there's many mansions in heaven. Do you ever look at shows where there's these really rich people that are involved in it and there's kind of a really big mansion and the grounds are kept so pristine and everything is beautiful and large and magnificent, and you go, man, I wonder what that's like to live in a place like that. That constant beauty all around. It's peaceful back in the courtyard. All that stuff. You know what?
we have provided a waiting for us, a mansion in heaven. What that means, I don't know. But I imagine when we get there, we're going to be doing the same thing that we do when we look at something really beautiful and wonderful and grand here in this world. That's going to be even more so.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And this is something that God has promised. He's providing for all of us. Wow.
Yes.
Sometimes we need that when we're going through a bunch of junk here in this world. I almost didn't make it. Junk in this world.
Yeah.
Right? To go, wait a minute. Okay, I know. This is really bad what I'm going through right now. But you know what? I know. I believe. I know in whom I believe. And I'm with you, God. And I know that you have something better awaiting me. Even if I don't see it in this life. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Come on. Get.
Yes.
Get the juices up. Grab a hold of words. Grab a hold of the concepts that you know that God wants you to get a hold of and need to get a hold of. So, in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this: things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which hasn't even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Even imagine it. No. Way beyond us. Way beyond us. In Ephesians 3:20 it says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we could ask or think." It's amazing, isn't it? What God, because He's a big provider. He supplies us with every need. Everyone. It's there for us, right?
Yes.
I hope that encourages you. I wrote this little thing out, so I'm going to read this. God is sovereign and gives graciously to all. But there are scriptures that speak to the kind of people God pours out His provision to. Here's the scriptures that describe those people. So, you know, there's God pours out to everyone in this world, believer and unbeliever, right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Because God is a God of love. It's the kind of God He is. And then there's things that because of the people's heart and how, what they do and how they approach Him, there's something special that God has. All right, so listen to here. Psalm 10, verse 17, says this: "Lord, You have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart." So what kind of people does God really like and really, really pours Himself out to?
The humble.
Humbleness. Not prideful, right? Humble. Looking to the concerns of others rather than their own, right? Okay, here's another one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. Let's see how this one says it. That says equipped. My version said thoroughly furnished. Right? Thoroughly furnished, fully equipped for every good work. Okay? So, who is it that can end up being fully equipped for things?
Man of God.
Man of God. But not just any, not just anybody. That's God's. But who?
People who are willing to be trained and taught by Him.
Yeah, it talks about all Scripture. People that get into the Scripture to understand how to live their life that's pleasing to God, right? To be students of the Scripture. It isn't just for the pastor of a church. It's for all of us, right? Because we all need to minister to people. Okay. So, those who read the Word of God. There's a special, there's some special provisions for people that are doing that. There's special provisions that God gives to people who are humble. All right, here's another one. 2 Timothy, since you're in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. He's going to be provided the things that are needed to do whatever he needs to do from God. You get that? So how would you describe that? These are people that are what?
Set upon.
Living a life.
Right.
Repentant.
Yeah, there's a repentance. There's a it says sanctified, right? You're in, and last week's message was about repentance and the church being a sanctified church.
Right.
Sanctified, set apart. Mm-hmm. Going through the process of allowing God to make us more into the image of Christ instead of just living the life, the common life. Right?
Yes.
So these are those that are in the process of sanctification, those that are turning from sin, repenting, right? Okay. Something special. God likes this, right?
Yes.
All right. Psalm 78. We only got one more scripture after this, and I'm done. So, come on. Gather up your energy. Stay with it. Okay, here we go. Psalm 78, verses 7 and 8. That they should put their hope and confidence in God, and not forget His works, but keep His commandments, and not to be like their father. So here, you get a positive thing, and then you get, don't be this other thing, right? And not like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Look what's going on in our nation. Right?
Yes.
It's a nation, I wouldn't say totally at all, but there's a good part of the nation, including some of the people that are in the church, who have really gone their own way and stubborn in allowing God to work things in their life. Right? Right?
Yeah.
And you see how God's, you know, don't be like the people that are stubborn and rebellious, who don't prepare their hearts and whose spirit is unfaithful to God. Right?
Yeah.
God doesn't want those kind of people. And it's he's still because he's a giver, because he provides, he's still there for any people in that regard. But there's something special that he really loves to give and provide for people that aren't like that. You hear me? Yeah. So here, and it's talking here in this last part of Psalm 78. It says, "A generation that did not prepare its heart." Oh, here we go again with the co-laboring. God prepares us. God gives us the means by which to accomplish something. Accomplish is another word that could be used there for provision and provide. God gives us those things. What happens if we don't use them? It's not effect. There's no effect, is there? There it is. It's like potential energy. The potential's there, but unless the light switch goes on, there's not going to be any lights on in this place.
That's right.
The energy's sitting over there, waiting to be turned on. There has to be an action on our part, a submission, really, on our part to step forward into the things that the Lord shows us needs to be done.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm going to submit to you that we're the place that we're at in history is a place where there are some very new and different things that are coming up that are going to close out this age. And we are in this process, this sanctifying process, this preparatory process, where the things that are happening now are getting us ready for the things that we're going to need to have worked in us for what we're to do here at the end of the age.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? Do you understand this?
Yes.
So, all the little things that go on in our lives, the little choices that we make, the turning away from a temptation, the stopping of a burst of anger. There's a myriad thing I can say there, so I won't. But those are the things that are getting us ready, preparing us for what is out ahead. And as we use these provisions, the provision of the Spirit, you see, where He gives us the ability to overcome. Right? He gives us the... We're called overcomers because we have the ability to overcome. If you read the book of Revelation and the message to the church, Jesus is saying, I got these things against you. But to those who overcome, He doesn't say, well, you're all going to overcome. You and I, like sanctification, have to be in the process of it. Don't we? We have to embrace that and say, yeah, Lord, I want to be in this process. Yeah?
Yes.
Especially.
Yeah. It's God that gives us the ability. He's the one that provides. But we have to walk in that.
Yes.
It comes back to what I said at the end of last week's message. We live in the Spirit, so now let's walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
It isn't just a done deal. Our salvation, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted the work of Jesus on the cross, you're saved. You're going to heaven. You're not going to lose that.
Amen.
Because that's by grace, through faith, right?
Yes.
Salvation is by grace, through faith.
Amen.
All the other stuff, how we bump through this life, what is in store in terms of rewards and what's going on in the realm of the millennial kingdom and the eternal kingdom, that's all now on how we embrace what God has given us to do. It's not a performance thing. It's just being open to the Spirit of God. Us being led by the Spirit of God. Don't think this is some kind of performance thing now. Because it's not. God has provided us everything for life and godliness. He has supplied us. He has supplied us with all of our needs.
Yeah.
See, do we believe that? And so there's something grand coming up. And I know that you could question that. I question it sometimes, but I look at the scripture and I look at what's going on in the world and in this country, and it's very clear that we are coming down to this final end of things for this age. And there are some very amazing things that are going to happen. Do I know what they are? No. Do you know what they are? Yeah? No? But I'll tell you what. We're in the process right now, through the things that we're suffering, through the decision making, through our giving over to our minds to the mind of Christ, that are getting us ready for the things. And if we're not going to be there at the very end, whatever it is that we're going to live our life up to and die, He has things that He certainly has plans for us, doesn't He?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so with all of that as a prelude, the final scripture, and this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to stand over here, because I don't get over to this side a lot.
You neglected.
I neglect this side of the room.
Thank you.
It's you know, it's on the left. And I kind of tend to go right. Anybody get that?
Yeah, don't represent that.
Okay.
Can't see you on Zoom.
Oh, you can't see me on Zoom? Oh, see, that's why. Where's my excuse? Okay, I can be seen. Good. All right. So, First Peter 1:13 says this. Therefore, now it's talking about us preparing, not God, right? Just like a generation that didn't prepare its heart. Here's our part here. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. I don't know how it says it up there. Does it say it that way? Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace, the ability, the provision, right? To be provided to you at the coming of Jesus Christ. I think it might say revelation of Jesus. Right? So the revelation of Jesus means the unveiling of Jesus. When the sky is going to split and Jesus is going to come from heaven with the armies of heaven and come. Oh man! And come down and take care of the rottenness of this age. Establish a messianic kingdom that's going to be beyond belief. Right? There's something that it says we are to prepare our minds for action. Oh, I guess that means we're going to have something to do? We're going to have something to do for the things that are about to happen in the world? Probably for us, not anything really gigantically big, but something that God has prepared us for, right?
Yes.
He's preparing us for this, and we're not going to be able to rely on our own strengths. We're going to be relying on the grace that's going to be provided to us. So, it isn't something we have to work ourselves up into a froth over. It's going to come because we're going to be so trusting in God through the things that we suffer and go through right now that our trust and our hope is only in Him, and we rely on Him, and our faith is in Him, and we know that He is the one that is going to provide. We'll be ready for when that grand thing starts to happen. We'll be there and we'll be ready. Hallelujah. That's what you and I are called for. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that.
I do.
So, let's just, we'll end in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for our every need. We know it's through your power, through your love, through your mighty work and strength that things can happen. It's not us, it's you. We're jars of clay, and you're the treasure that's in them. And we thank you, Lord, that you've decided to do it that way. Lord, I pray that today that not only do we receive your provision, but that we use it as you show us for today's challenges, so that we can be prepared for the challenges of tomorrow. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you are an overcomer, that you have the victory, and that we have it too when we're in you. Lord, help us to remain humble, to be people who read the word, that we won't shrink back from repentance, that we have our hope and our confidence in you, that we won't be stubborn or rebellious at all, Lord. Help us to prepare our minds for the action that you have awaiting us. In Jesus' name, amen.